This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome, listeners from 164 countries worldwide. This is your host, Jason Hartman. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've got one of our great investment counselors here. You've heard her on the show before, and that is Sarah, and we thought we would do a little gossiping. No, not really, but maybe a little bit. Oh, I don't know. Sarah, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me again.
It's good to have you back on. I always have to twist your arm to get you on the show. I tell you, you're just too busy. You're a busy person, and there have been a lot of people buying properties lately. And that's what I meant by gossip. I thought we'd gossip a little bit about them. And, you know, I got the greatest note today. I love getting notes like this from one of our clients from a couple of years ago. And this is Oscar and Christine. Well, I won't read you the whole note, but he said, "Hello, Jason. I hope all is going swanky with you." See, he knows my special word. Not sure if you remember me and my wife. We purchased a bunch of properties from your network a few years back. Happy to report that all is well, and I actually quit my job to do this full time.
That's amazing.
Oscar, that's awesome. That is so awesome. We love to get messages like that. And we actually get them with some degree of frequency, but we don't always mention them on the show. It's just awesome to hear that you and Christine are, you're basically out of the rat race. You're financially free due to the properties you purchased from us. And we just love to hear that kind of stuff. And congratulations. You are on your way, or, well, maybe you're just already living the good life, the swank life. Congratulations to you. That's awesome. Okay, awesome, awesome. And Sarah, you got another one like that to share, right?
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to wait because they haven't finished closing all their deals, but they have them under contract. So I thought it was definitely worth a mention. Stacy and Andy from Southern California, and they are so young. I don't know exactly how old they are, but I think they're like early 30s. They are almost wrapping up 20 loans between the two of them.
Wow.
So congratulations on your guys' progress. I'm so excited for you. And we got a great email from them. So that's exciting. I mean, they are just so young and they're go-getters and they don't mess around. I mean, they're tough on their property managers for sure. They definitely know how to manage their managers.
Yeah, no question about it. That's fantastic. Folks, this is just a matter of doing it. That's really all it is. So if you are sitting on the sidelines thinking and hearing these stories about people investing in real estate and creating financial freedom, it's nothing more than just doing it. It's really not that complicated. Many of you have a couple of properties, but you're not really going big. You know, you've got some money in the stock market, the modern version of organized crime. You've got some other things going on. Maybe you got a bunch of equity trapped in the house in which you live, and you should free that equity up and make it do something for you. Remember, there is no such thing as return on equity. I know that is a metric that they use out there, but I've proven, hopefully conclusively, and you've heard me talk about it on prior episodes, that return on equity is a myth. So if you have equity in your home, and here's the way you know that. Look, it's tax time, right? A lot of you, you've probably already done your taxes. Many of you are like me and you're filing extensions, which I firmly believe in filing extensions. Many say that that reduces your audit risk, by the way. But the last time, I've been audited twice in my life. Oh, I sense a tangent. I've been audited twice in my life. And the last time the IRS lost and they ended up paying me a whole bunch of money. So I just have a feeling my friends at the IRS aren't going to be back anytime soon. But Sarah, since you're here, let's just talk about audits for a moment. Because do you remember Jack from the IRS, who back in 2010 basically was like an employee? He was in our office every day. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember specifically going in the elevator with him every day as we would go to Starbucks, but he would never let us buy him a Starbucks.
Yeah, well, that's illegal. I think I did actually buy him a Starbucks once, but it didn't help me in the audit because I lost as far as Jack and I went. We did sit and have coffee a couple of times over at Starbucks, and whenever we would go to lunch, we'd always make sure to invite him, but he wouldn't accept.
He would never join us, yeah.
And here's but I lost the audit as far as Jack goes. I won on appeal. Okay, so my CPA, well, at the time, who's your CPA still, he fought it and I won. So who says you can't fight City Hall? The IRS ended up paying me a bunch of money. That was a big win. But it's funny, Jack, it just shows you how inefficient the government is, right? And how these employees, the vast majority of them, are just taking advantage of the government gravy train. Because I swear to you, Jack would he'd come to work. And I pretty much knew that his whole day was dedicated to my audit for quite a few weeks that he was in our office. And he would come in and he'd probably get there at about 9:30, 10 a.m. And we'd usually get out and maybe leave for lunch at about 1. And that was Jack's day. He told me, he said, yeah, I'm going to pick up my daughter or whatever he would say, or going to pick up my kids at school or something like that, and then just go home. And he just did not seem like the ambitious type of guy working in the private sector that would be on his computer after he went home doing work. You know, he would, it sounds like pretty much his day was about 4 hours long. So that was my impression. But
so wait, I didn't realize that you lost that audit.
Well,
I
lost
eventually won, but does he know you eventually won?
Oh, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. You know, I could probably call him up and rub his nose in it, but I'm not going to. That's not smart. You don't
no,
do that.
That's not smart.
You don't do that with the government. Okay.
No.
And, but yeah, I lost. Well, I mean, I don't know that I really lost, but he assessed fees to my account and he said, you owe the government, right? And then on appeal, I may be technically wrong about what actually happened here, but I think my CPA appealed it and then went to tax court, I guess, and won. And it was his rule was overturned, and the IRS ended up paying me a few $100,000. It was very profitable. I was so glad they audited me. And this is funny. The thing is, that was during the Great Recession, okay? And I was really depressed. I felt like here with all the other problems, business wasn't going so well back then, and things were scary. If you remember, folks, back to the news and all the stuff in the media back then, things looked pretty bleak, okay? And then here I get this call or a letter or both that I'm being audited. And I thought, oh my God, really? And I was pretty bummed out. But it turns out it was a huge win. I'm really grateful. I'm very glad that it happened because it was good. And, you know, the IRS actually showed me some mistakes I made that were to my benefit on my return. And so it was a great deal. Very glad they came by.
I don't know if I ever told you, but I got audited right around that time too. And I know how you feel about like the economy being down. And I remember we were working so hard just to continue business and help people. You know, there were some clients that were having some challenges and we were just kind of working through it. And I remember the feeling like getting audited in one of my lowest income years, thinking, man, like what a waste of time. It was just such a small audit. I think it was a partial audit. And I just remember thinking, here I am like working my butt off and I'm getting audited for this year.
To add insult to injury, right?
Right.
But
yeah,
I will remind you, there is this great little old book by the late Robert Schuller, okay, who was the founder of the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And it's got an awesome title. The title of the book is Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do. And right around the corner from any bad thing that happens in our lives, it always seems like something good either happens next or something good comes out of it. And we've all been through tremendous challenges in our life. You know, if we're older than 25 years old, we've usually been hit with some pretty tough challenges. I remember when I was in my 20s and thinking I was bulletproof, and you just live a little longer and crap is going to happen to you, okay? And it may be something you put into motion. It may just be from the outside world and outside forces, but you are going to face challenges, I promise. People used to say that. I remember being in church hearing about stuff like that, and I thought, nah, life is great. Everything always goes perfectly. No, it doesn't. and stuff will happen. But you know, if you just give it a little time, things turn around. They always do. And always look for the silver lining in the cloud. And always remember this one saying that I used to say when I was training real estate agents many years ago, and through various challenges and tough economic times and so forth over the years, I would say the key to success in business is to stay in business long enough for something good to happen. Stay in business long enough for something good to happen. And the same is true with real estate investors. It is a game of staying power. And so many times investors get discouraged because, oh, I've got a vacancy, I've got an eviction, I got a tenant who beat up my property, and now I've got a bunch of expenses to repair it. But undoubtedly, invariably, if they just don't give up, if they persist, they will get through those bad times, and suddenly, before they know it, just a little time goes by and everything has worked out and they are loving it. And I'll give you an example. Our friend Drew, who is your client, Sarah, and Drew has been on the podcast. Things started out pretty rosy for him, and he had a tough year a couple of years ago. He had a pretty decent-sized portfolio. I think he was up to about 9 properties. Memphis, Indianapolis were his markets. And one year, he had a tough year, and he was complaining like crazy. This was about 2 years ago, I think. Several repairs and expenses, and he kind of was thinking this is really unfair. And I said, Drew, and you remember, you were on this call with me. I said, sell one of your properties. You've got a bunch of appreciation in there. Sell just one of them to pay you back for all the problems you had. And he wouldn't do it. He didn't listen to me. He wouldn't sell one. And you know me, I hardly ever say sell something, okay? And what I mean by that is liquidate. I would say maybe you sell something to do a 1031 tax deferred exchange and reinvest. And I'm in the middle of one of those right now. I'm going to buy 2 or 3 houses with the proceeds from one house. That's a great deal. My cash flow is going to increase dramatically. And that's not what I mean by selling. In this example, I was actually saying liquidate one, take the money out, and use it to pay yourself back, and then some extra for the problems you had. So you'll shut up and you'll be happy, right?
Yeah. I mean, why not give yourself a payday and give yourself something to get excited about? And even if you're going to reinvest that, maybe you get rid of one of your headaches and give yourself that payday. I like payday.
But payday's all right. Okay. But he didn't do it. I mean, I'd rather have you have your payday through the refinance, through the refi till you die program that we've outlined. And if you're a new listener, you don't know what that is, go to jasonhartman.com, use the search bar in the upper right and type in refi till you die, several podcasts and episodes and diagrams on that exact topic. Really powerful. But he didn't listen to me. He didn't sell. He kept everything. And he just told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, you know, I just want to tell you, Jason, I had a really good year last year with my properties, and I am doing great. And so it always turns around, folks.
Well, and sometimes you have to make some changes. You know, I remember he made a big property management change. I believe it was in Indianapolis. That property manager may have helped him turn that portfolio around a bit and get a cash flowing a little bit better.
You know, there's an old saying that everybody serves a purpose. At the very least, they can serve as a bad example. and I'd say his former property manager served as a bad example. So, but they helped him pushed him to finally make a change. And I think that was definitely good.
Yeah, I want to make sure our clients know. I know we talk about this all the time, but don't be afraid to manage your managers. You know, if something just doesn't seem right, they charge you for a repair that just seems way too expensive, question them on it. Look at your statements. Do a, you know, quick Google search, or, you know, pick up the phone and call a contractor, or you can even go on HomeDepot.com and see how much that part costs. And you can...
It's very easy to hold them accountable nowadays,
yeah, folks.
Absolutely. It's really, really easy. So definitely do that. And don't be afraid to self-manage your properties either. Sarah, I know you're not as much of a fan as I am of that, but I think the self-management thing's pretty cool. Now, have you come around to my thinking at all, or are you still firmly a disbeliever in self-management, or are you somewhere in the middle?
I have something I haven't told you yet.
All right. There's a lot of things you don't tell me.
I know, there's lots of things. Yeah. Lots and lots of things. Okay, so I got a call from, I actually talked somebody into self-managing, I think it was one of their indie properties, actually. And this is Karen. So, by the way, congrats to Karen and Rick for putting another property under contract. They're going on their third in Cincinnati. So they're making some progress too. But anyways, we were talking the other day and she was kind of complaining about, you know, her property management company. And I said, well, just think about self-managing that one. It was already leased. She loved the tenant. I think the tenant was complaining about a repair taking too long. And anyways, she came around to it and she called me and she was so excited. You know, she is self-managing one of her properties and she loves it. And I turned her on. What's that website you told us all about at Meet the Masters? Cozy? Was it cozy.co?
Oh, cozy.co. Yeah.
Yeah.
C-O.
Yeah.
.co.
.co. And she plugged into that for the rent checks. And she says everything's going well. So, yeah, I'm coming around to it. I'm not self-managing any of mine yet, but some of our clients are and they're doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good to hear. I really, the biggest challenge in our business is property management. And sometimes the biggest challenge is property managers. Okay. Now, you're far better off doing it through our network than doing it yourself, because if you try it yourself, you're going to have just zero leverage. All right. But doing it through us, we'll make that property management experience better for sure, and the property manager experience. I want to distinguish those two. But it's still the biggest challenge. I think the rest of it's pretty darn easy. You know, management is where the rubber meets the road, and you got to pay attention to it. There is, folks, if you're listening for the first time and you're thinking, well, I thought this whole real estate investing and building a big portfolio, the idea was to have passive income. There is no such thing as passive income, okay? It doesn't really exist in any world. I would casually say, yes, a real estate portfolio is passive income. But if you have any investment out there, including in the bank, just a bank CD, and you're treating it passively, you're going to lose. So really no such thing as a truly passive investment. There are varying degrees of passivity. And this is pretty close, so.
Yeah, and just don't let your emotions get the best of you. I mean, it's really easy to get frustrated with somebody, especially when you're mostly dealing with them over email and it's not very personable all the time. But, you know, when you have a management concern, take it seriously. Do what you can to make it as painless as you can, you know, get the best deals on rehabs, get your properties leased quickly, but, you know, just constant communication with your property manager through those issues if you have them.
And this isn't difficult, but just be engaged. You just got to be engaged, okay?
But don't get frustrated too quickly. A lot of times we let our emotions get the best of us. I mean, so many times somebody will be really upset and then we talk through it, we get the issue resolved, and a week later they're like all excited and gung-ho about it again. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the old saying, don't sweat the small stuff, and then remember it's all small stuff. So, yeah. Sarah, should we talk about the property tour?
Yeah.
Coming up? I mean, this is not 100% confirmed, but it's 98% confirmed.
Well, and initially we were talking about a Memphis tour, and we love Memphis, but there's lulls in the inventory sometimes. And that's kind of what we're seeing right now is, you know, after Meet the Masters, a lot of property sold. Now they're working on...
A lot is like an understatement, but yes. Okay.
A ton.
A ton. Yeah, more than a ton, because a house, just one house, I bet weighs more than a ton, but okay.
Yeah. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to put you, you know, under contract on a property that is like... still has a ways to go before the renovation is done, because all these properties, for any new listeners, they come rent ready for your tenant. And so there are times when the local market specialists are in their acquisition stage and they're renovating properties, and we don't want to just have you sitting around waiting for properties. So, and we definitely don't want to take several people to a market to look at, you know, properties that aren't ready to be sold. So maybe we can do a fall tour. I know a lot of people are interested in Memphis, but we're getting such great feedback on one of our property managers that I thought doing an Ohio tour would be a good idea. So we're working on details. I hope it all comes through. We can pencil in some dates. And Jason, are we ready to announce some maybe dates?
I think, yeah, we're looking at early June. So mark your calendars, save the date tentatively, and just keep that in mind, okay? We will probably, on our next episode or the one after that, have this all firmed up for you. So we look forward to seeing you. And this time, let's not do JHU. I didn't even ask for your vote on this, Sarah. Let's do Creating Wealth with this one, okay? So we combine it with a seminar, and we split the seminar over 2 days, so you won't tire of me too much. And on Saturday afternoon, we do the property tour. We go out to dinner together Saturday evening. We have all the meals together at the event, and that's just a really great way to casually network and meet other investors. And again, this isn't like Meet the Masters, where we've got so many people there and it's so busy. Property tours are definitely more laid back. We'll do the seminar over the course of 2 days, the Creating Wealth seminar, and then we'll do the property tour Saturday afternoon and early evening, and then have dinner that night. So it's going to be great. And we've had many, 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 I don't know. Are we up to thousands of people at property tours yet? Probably, we're over 1,000 so far, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah,
over the years. Yeah, maybe a couple thousand people come to our property tours. And they're great. People love them. So we hope you'll join us for that. And we'll announce some early bird pricing, maybe even on the next episode when it gets all firmed up. But I just have to tell you, this brand new hotel that we've got, and we're just waiting for the contract back on it, is stunning. It's spectacular. I love staying at nice places. It makes travel really enjoyable when you stay at swanky places. So that's what we're working on too. Sarah, talk to us a little bit about who's been buying properties lately.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of new clients coming through, and repeat clients that have been buying with me since 2007, which is awesome to see them, you know, continue to build their portfolios. We recently had Matt in Oregon do about 7 all-cash deals.
Wow, congratulations. Seven at a time, huh? Yeah,
good. He did. He mixed it up a little bit. He did Indy, Columbus, and Birmingham. And I don't know, maybe we got to talk him into putting a loan on those properties.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is you can do that delayed financing option, which isn't categorized the same way a refinance is. So if you do it within, I believe, 6 months, you can still get the equivalent of a purchase money loan on refining those out. And they might even appraise for more. So that can be a pretty good deal. A lot of investors have used that tactic. It's a little known tactic, but just talk to one of our investment counselors about it. They will refer you to a lender who can give you all the good details about that. But yeah, so you may be refinancing, or not refinancing, but getting purchase money loans, delayed purchase money financing on those properties 6 months from now. And that can be a pretty great deal. So just ask us about it to get more details when you talk to us. But go ahead. Who else?
Yeah, we've got Bill, who is a soccer coach, little guy soccer coach. I think he has girls. Can't remember. I have a little soccer player, so I remember that.
Your kids are into all forms of athletics.
Oh, I love it.
Every weekend, Sarah, your Facebook is filled with athletic events.
Oh, it's the best. I don't know what I'm going to do when my kids grow up.
What's so great about it, by the way? See, to me, that would seem kind of boring. But maybe that's why I'm not a dad. But I do like kids. I think kids are great. I want to be a dad, but I don't want to go sit at those games all the time. I mean, a little bit, but not as much as you do. Why is it your favorite?
Well, you see them, especially my daughter. My daughter is really competitive. She plays fast pitch softball. She's a pitcher, shortstop, utility. She can play anything. And she practices. She's got such a good work ethic. She practices all week, you know, on her hitting and her pitching. And so to see them have a good game and compete to win, it's just fun. And then there's my son, who's overly confident but doesn't have the work ethic.
Your son's ethic so far is the big hat, no cattle ethic, right?
So funny.
The confidence will get you very far in the world, even without doing the work a lot of times. Yeah.
And he's always listening to my calls and, you know, my work calls in the car and asking questions. And he's super into money and real estate. He's probably going to be your investment counselor in about 8 years. So anyways, yeah. So Bill, the soccer coach, that was a tangent. And he was actually referred by our friend Gary, and he's buying some properties in Little Rock and Chicago and, you know, just getting started in building a portfolio. So congrats to him on his new deals. And wow, I mean, what about Brent?
Oh, yeah, Brent. Brent, I love it. I love Brent. Okay, so Brent has been to many of our events, and I am so glad to see him starting to build his portfolio. So that's awesome. Yeah.
And that's Brandon's dad, who's one of our Venture Alliance members.
I love Brandon. He's the greatest.
Brandon's a young guy and he's just killing it. Yeah. I mean, he's awesome. So
he's doing awesome. And Brandon, many of you listening have met Brandon and his father, Brent, because they've been to lots of our events over the years. And Brandon's a fighter pilot. And, you know, he was with us in Dubai and San Diego and Newport, Rhode Island. And coming up, we'll be on Jekyll Island. I keep asking Brandon to fly his jet over, though, but he never does that. I guess the government just doesn't let you take home the jets, does it? The fighter jets.
Oh, if you can take it home, can you pick me up on the way?
That would be totally fun.
Probably a big no-no.
But he's such a funny guy. I love him. He's just great. But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, well, sales are very brisk. Now, there are a lot more clients than that who have purchased in the last month or so, or the last couple of weeks. And you didn't mention them, Sarah, because it's too big a list, frankly. But so if we didn't mention you, we're thinking about you and we love it and we appreciate your business. So thank you for that. Just we look forward to helping you build bigger and bigger portfolios. Any things you're seeing out there in the market, questions you're getting from people, concerns that you have or clients have that we should address as we wrap up here, Sarah?
Not a ton. I mean, I always get the question of people say, well, where should I buy? You know, I've already bought in Birmingham. I had somebody ask me the other day, Sean asked me, you know, I already bought in Birmingham. I'm thinking about doing some more deals there. But then he saw my Atlanta email with a couple properties and he said, well, what about Atlanta? Is it risky there because it's more of a hybrid market? He didn't say hybrid market, but that's what he meant, I think. So he just asked, what do I buy? Where do I buy? How do I diversify?
Right, right. Okay, so the answer to that question is there is no perfect answer on where to buy, right? It just depends on your risk tolerance, your time horizon, but this is not an exact science, okay? Just of course understand that. But I think one of those questions in there was about Atlanta, and is Atlanta a more risky market than, say, Memphis or Indianapolis or some of our Ohio areas, right? Would that be a fair question, Sarah?
Yeah, I think that was pretty much it.
The answer is, yeah, it's slightly more risky because it's a little bit more of a hybrid market. It's not as linear. That means prices have run up more, but people have made more money there. I mean, look, it's not Miami. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Boston. Those are the really risky cyclical type markets, right? And there are many more of them that I didn't mention. But Phoenix and Atlanta are kind of in between. So
yeah, but I think Atlanta's settled down a bit.
I agree.
Yep. Hedge funds kind of came in and they left. And what I said to this client is, as long as you lock in a 30-year fixed rate loan and the cash flow makes sense the day you buy it, which it does, it's really hard to lose, because if the values go up, you know, and down a little bit, your loan, your payment doesn't really change. And the only concern would be, you know, if your rents went down, which again, there's no guarantee, but historically speaking, you know, we don't see a big dip in rents. You might see it teeter a little bit, but historically speaking, rents go up. So as long as you've locked in that, you're not on an adjustable loan, that was when things were risky, was when people got into those risky loans. And I read an article yesterday that rates, I think nobody ever talks about when rates go up a little bit. I guess they went up a little bit. And as of yesterday, reading this article, they were back down to a historic low, which is awesome. So take advantage of those low interest rate loans. They're still here.
They're incredibly low. And I just can't believe they haven't gone up yet. I mean, it's amazing that we can defy gravity this long. I've been famously wrong on that prediction about higher interest rates. It makes no sense. The rates need to go up. They should go up. Nobody, either in politics or at the Federal Reserve, wants to ruin the party during their tenure. The only one at the Fed who was willing to do it, and it took a lot of guts, is Paul Volcker, who broke the back of inflation set off by the Jimmy Carter era and really even going way back to Nixon. But yeah, nobody wants to take away the punch bowl when they're hosting the party. They always want to let the next person do it. And so Janet Yellen, Ben Bernanke, Alan Greenspan, that's all been the same deal all the way along. They're Keynesians. They're sellouts. But and you might be thinking, listening to me, well, Jason, why are you saying that? Why do you think interest rates should go up? Because the situation is not healthy. These are artificially low rates, and they should not be that way. It changes the dynamics of the marketplace. It really hurts older people. It hurts savers. It hurts people with money. It encourages too much risk-taking, and that risk-taking has a business cycle to it. The higher they fly, the harder they fall, is the old saying, right? And that's exactly what happened in the last financial crisis. You got to slowly take away the punch bowl and really just rein it in. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. But anyway, that's my opinion, and I'm not going to get my way, so. but listen.
What? Jason not get his way?
I don't get my way all the time. But what I will tell you about that is, look, take advantage of it. Exploit it. Use it to your advantage. Stock up on that cheap debt while you can, while it's there. It's wrong. It shouldn't be this way. But from a personal perspective, heck, exploit the hell out of it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I do want to say something else. You know, Sarah, has there been any progress in opening any of these other markets that we're working on? We are looking, but just a lot of this inventory is just junk out there. And a lot of these providers, these local market specialists, would-be local market specialists, I should say, they're just not good operators. For example, I'd love to consider being back in Phoenix or Charlotte or many other cities around the country. And Atlanta has calmed down a little bit because the institutional money, the hedge fund type private equity money, isn't so present there. The same is true with Phoenix, although Phoenix is still pretty darn expensive. Any thoughts or progress there, Sarah? I know you're working on this every single day, as am I.
Yeah. Well, we are working on, and I almost don't want to mention it because we're still doing some number crunching, but we're looking at Tampa.
Yeah.
I know everybody wants Florida, and we're working on numbers. If we can get the numbers to work, that might be an interesting market.
And it's not just about the market. It's also about the team, about the provider there. There are lots of places to invest. There are lots of deals out there. But if you're not going to get a group that stands behind that deal and takes care of repair issues and takes care of management, you can have the best deal in the world, but still have a terrible experience. And we have learned that lesson too many times over the years, and we don't want you to have to learn it by firsthand experience.
You know, we've also got a new provider that does Nashville. Again, I almost hate to bring
expensive,
it up.
Yeah.
We're looking at the numbers again. Everybody always asks about Nashville. It's an exciting market. I don't know if we can make it happen. If the numbers work, we will be bringing you Nashville.
We will see. We will see. Well, that is the home of Taylor Swift, so it can't be all that bad. I think I almost got arrested there for stalking her. You heard that story. That's a joke, by the way. But
well, speaking of Taylor Swift, there's an awesome video on Jason's Facebook page that we posted yesterday.
That is great. That's your daughter interviewing me 6 years ago, Sarah, about Taylor Swift. And I just thought that was so funny.
Jason says, he's 28 and he wants to be a rock star.
That was my future goal. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Neither of which will come true or are true. Yeah, funny stuff. All right, good. Well, hey, folks, this was a very casual, unusual episode. It's just a chit-chat with Sarah and I, but we hope you enjoyed it and got some benefit out of it. Let's wrap it up, Sarah. Any other thoughts you want to part with?
No, we appreciate you guys. We appreciate you listening, and feel free to call or email anytime with your real estate investment questions. We look forward to hearing from you.
We're here to help. We're happy to help. I should give out my Voxer one more time, because I haven't been doing that lately. I got kind of overwhelmed with Voxer messages and didn't get time to play them on the air, which I know I've got to do. I've got a bunch of them saved up here. But it's jhart88 on Voxer, V-O-X-E-R. Just download the app and you can contact me there. And we can actually have a virtual asynchronous conversation. I will play them on the air. So that's better than going to jasonhartman.com and using the message app on there for your questions. And I know I'm behind on those two, folks. The nice thing is that Voxer really allows for a nice two-way conversation. And that clarifies it a lot for both you, who's calling in with a question, and for the listeners on the air when it's played on the air. We really get it more specifically. So good stuff. Thank you all so much for listening. Go to jasonhartman.com for the update on the property tour coming up. It'll be on the website soon when we get it all confirmed 100%. The dates are early June on that, the first weekend of June. And VentureAllianceMastermind.com, VentureAllianceMastermind.com. We updated that site yesterday. You can find out more about our trip to Jekyll Island, the birthplace of the Federal Reserve. So that'll be fascinating. I hope you join us for that. You can join as a guest, and we'll look forward to talking to you on the next episode.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes, because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears, and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.